Kevin Costner was recently asked, "Mr. Costner, what was it you were looking forward to when you were a child?" He said, "Only one thing I remember as a little boy growing up. I wanted to please my father." And he said, "Since I've become an adult, it hasn't changed anything." Here the man who won all the Academy Awards said, "All I really wanted to do is please my father." And I saw Kirk Douglas recently interviewed on national television, and he said, "I never got the blessing of the ragman, and I never got over it." You see, his father was a ragman. His father never did anything other than sell rags on the streets of Philadelphia. But he said, "I never got the ragman's blessing, and I never got over it." He wrote a book called The Ragman's Son, his autobiography. And 75 years old, with tears streaming down his cheeks, he said, "My father never really blessed me, and I never got over it." And ladies and gentlemen, no one ever does. Since I retired from pro football 20 years ago, I have been in almost 450 prisons. I've been in prison so much for the last 20 years, I could rob a bank and I wouldn't have to serve any time. I've already served it. I've been in every prison in your state many times. One thing that I will say concerning the inmates in prison in Oregon and in Texas and in Hawaii and in Florida and everywhere we've been, in over 450 prisons in 20 years, they all hate their fathers. Now, there may be some inmate somewhere in some prison that loves his father. I just never met one. Never. It's consistent. There is something you see, ladies and gentlemen, that makes a man or a woman mean when they don't get along with their father. Watch a man or woman that doesn't get along with his father and mother. Watch him if he has a hatred toward his father and mother, because he will ultimately either become mean or he will become an overachiever. Trying to prove that he can, after all, do something worthwhile, he becomes a Kevin Costner or Kirk Douglas or a president of the United States. Or maybe he becomes a Saddam Hussein, who hated his father and his stepfather. But the fact of the matter is that when a man or a woman doesn't get along with their father and mother, they really always are either overachievers or they're dangerous. There is a story here in God's Word in the 27th chapter of Genesis, read a moment ago by this pastor, that he is so familiar that every one of you heard it in Sunday school. It is the story of two boys, Esau and Jacob. Esau was the elder and Jacob was the younger. And Jacob was a con artist. Jacob tricked his brother Esau out of two things, his birthright and his blessing. Now, I can understand that Esau was upset because he lost his birthright. That's the financial inheritance. But if you read the story carefully, you'll discover that he was even more upset over losing his blessing. A blessing is just well words. That's all blessing means, well words. But it was very important in the Jewish home. The Jewish father would bless his child, and it was highly significant. I wonder, do you bless your children? Do they know that you love them and you think that they're terrific? Do you give them your blessing and your grandchildren? Do you bless your parents? Do you make them know that you think that they are sensational, that you love them and you bless them? Now, if you read the 37th chapter of Genesis, you'll discover that Joseph was blessed of his father, but the other brothers weren't. And we are suffering to this day in that part of the world because of an unequal blessing. Only Joseph wore the multicolored coat. Only Joseph was blessed, and the other brothers hated him and sold him into slavery, and we are suffering to this day because of the unequal blessing. It is always repeated generationally. If you have difficulty blessing your children, they will have difficulty blessing theirs. And the inmates of this generation become the inmates of the next generation. And one of the things I say to inmates in prison, bless your children. If you want to stop the cycle of crime, bless your children. Because a child not blessed is in danger of becoming a criminal. But also there is that father that keeps it just out of reach. You did a pretty good job, but if only you had done this, it would have been better. I played football for 22 years, 10 as an amateur and 12 as a pro, and during those 22 years, every coach I ever played for kept the blessing just out of reach. If only you had done this, it would have been better. Just out of reach. And that's all right for a coach, but it stinks for a father. If only you had done this, it would have been better. You say, well, I did say he did a good job, but if you follow it by saying, if only you had done this, it would have been better, you're keeping it just out of reach. That's saying you didn't measure up, you didn't make it. That's no blessing. That's a cursing. I was speaking like this recently, and a U.S. senator came up to me when I was through. He laid his head on my shoulder and cried, although my jacket was wet with his tears. And I said, Senator, what in the world is wrong? He said, I've got 5 grown sons, and every one of them hate my guts. And I said, why do they hate you, Senator? He said, I always keep the blessing just out of reach. I'm always saying, if only you had done this, it would have been better. And I realized that that is no blessing at all. I was recently reading concerning one man in Dallas, Texas, where I live. All of his life, all he'd ever wanted to do was be an engineer. All he'd ever wanted to do was be an engineer, and he worked hard toward being an engineer. His father was an engineer. He thought his dad would be proud of him because he got a full scholarship in engineering to SMU, and he went to his father and he said, Dad, I got a full scholarship in engineering to SMU. And his father said, Son, that's good, but everybody knows the best engineering schools are out of state. That upset that young man so badly that he tried to commit suicide. He ended up in a mental institution. He is in a mental institution to this day. And if you were to visit him in that mental institution, you'd be impressed by how handsome he is, how intelligent he is, how articulate he is. But if you turn his wrist over, you'll discover multiple scar wounds where he's tried to commit suicide. Why is that? It is because, you see, he's got a father that is so all-fired stupid that he doesn't know how to give an unqualified blessing. He keeps the blessing just out of reach. And that's no blessing at all. It's a tragedy when a father and a mother doesn't know how to bless their children. I was speaking like this in Buffalo, New York the other day. And an older man stood against the wall and cried. When I was through, I walked over to him and I asked him what his problem was, and he said, I always wondered why my mother hated me. I remember as a boy, she gave me away to my grandmother and grandfather. I lived with them until I was 6. At age 6, my grandfather died, and my grandmother packed my bag and put it on the porch, and when I came in from school, she told me to go away. And I remember walking away from my grandmother's house as a six-year-old boy, and he said, in the next 13 years, I lived in 13 different foster homes. And he said, I was 66 years old, and my mother was in her 80s when she told me why she hated me. She said, you stretched my belly when I was carrying you, and I always hated you for that. What kind of mother is that, you say? But there are mothers like that. 90% of the inmates in prison were abused as children, either sexually abused or beaten. Some of the worst offenders of those who do not bless their children are Christian parents. We want so much for our kids. We discipline them, but we fail to bless them. We teach them, but we fail to bless them. And they never really get over it. You see, I just don't feel accepted or acceptable until I feel blessed to my parents. And you may make a lot of mistakes in your life, but if you bless your kids, they'll turn out pretty good. And you may teach them very little, but if you bless them, they'll do real well. But if you don't teach them anything, and you don't bless them, they'll have problems. But I'd rather bless them and not teach them a thing. Of course, the best is to teach them a great deal and bless them a great deal, isn't it? And then there is that mother that says, when you look at me in my casket, you'll wish you had treated me better. Or every time you do something like that, you nail another nail in my casket. Don't tell that to your kids. Well, you say, Bill, if it is so important to bless your children, tell me, how may I do it? The first thing I would say, if you're going to bless your children, do it with a touch. If you read the 26th verse of this 27th chapter of Genesis, you'll discover that it says that Isaac said to his son Jacob, come close to me that I might hug you and kiss you and bless you. Wasn't that a nice thing for that old man to do for that little boy? Wasn't it? Don't fall for it. That little boy was 45 years old when his father said, come close to me that I might hug you and kiss you and bless you. He wasn't talking to a little boy. He was talking to a full-grown man. We never get too old to need our Father's blessing. As recently as only a few days ago, I blessed my boy. And you know, it's such an easy thing to bless my little girl. She's sweet and dainty, rather petite. But my boys weigh 285 and 270. They're 6'6". I grab my daughter by her ears and look into her eyes and say, I love you and I bless you and I think you're terrific. And that's so easy and so natural to do with my little girl. But it's so tough with that big boy of mine. Bench presses 500 pounds, played college ball and pro ball. 285, you have to reach up to get to his ears. But as recently as only a few days ago, I grabbed that eldest son of mine, now a grown man with children of his own, and hugged him and blessed him and told him that I loved him. And a tear welled up in his eye and spilled over down his cheek. And he said, I needed that, Dad. And they always do. They never get too old to need their father's blessing. Kevin Costner said, all I ever wanted to do was please my dad. Kirk Douglas said, never got over it because I missed the ragman's blessing. Becoming one of the great movie stars this country's ever produced didn't satisfy Kirk Douglas because the ragman never blessed him. And as a result, he has this sneaking suspicion that he's totally unaccepted and unacceptable. And there's little that can ever be done to change it. Esau never got over it, and no one ever really does. Marilyn Monroe was asked late in her life, how often do you feel love growing up as a child? She said, only once. I lived in many different foster homes, she said, and only one time do I ever remember feeling any love. One of my foster mothers was putting on her makeup, and as she was putting on the makeup, she stopped just for a moment. And she touched me on the tip of the nose with her powder puff and gave me a faint little smile. And just for a moment, she said, I felt a little bit of love. Do you wonder why she ultimately committed suicide? I don't. If only one time in all of those growing up years she felt any love. I was recently down in Florida, and I asked them down there, how many Jews in prison in Florida? You know what they told me? 13. 40,000 inmates in prison in Florida. 13 Jews. Why so few Jews in prison in Florida or in any other state in the United States? I'll tell you why. Because the old Jewish patriarch knew how to draw his children close to him and hug them and kiss them and bless them. And it's carried over even to this modern day generation. And very few Jews end up in jail. You say, we just don't do that kind of thing in our family. Then your family is wrong. Change it. Well, I'm not willing to change it. Then get ready to visit them in the state penitentiary. Or get ready to have them feel unaccepted and unacceptable. Get ready to see them overachieve their whole life and still be unsatisfied. Make them vulnerable to all types of traps of insecurity and unacceptability. One inmate recently said to me, I always wondered why I felt so inadequate. But 80% of the people, both in and out of prison all over America, say, I really never got blessed of both mother and father. If this audience is characteristic, and I'm certain that it must be, most of you in this audience that listen to me know deep down in your heart where no one else can look. You never really got the blessing of both mother and father. not the biblical blessing. I read about a little girl who was frightened by a horrible storm. She ran and jumped in bed with her parents, and she said, "Daddy, hug me, Daddy, hug me, Daddy." And the father said, "Darling, don't you know that God will take care of you?" She said, "Yes, Dad, but I need someone with skin on to hug me right now." And we do need someone with skin on to hug us on occasion, don't we? One psychologist said it takes 4 hugs a day just for bare minimums. 8 hugs a day and you'll do well. 12 hugs a day and you'll really grow emotionally. There is something about the human skin that needs touching by a beloved. Do it with a touch. You can't do this at arm's length. Secondly, it must be done with a word. It's got to be said out loud. It's not just understood. It's got to be stated. I know one 73-year-old father that said to his 50-year-old daughter, "You know I love you, don't you?" She said, "No." "Why not?" "Well, you never told me." "Well, that's not something you have to say. That's just understood." "No, it's not." "Well, why don't you know?" "Well, it seems to me that if you really love me once in every 50 years, you ought to be able to say it out loud. You see, a bell isn't a bell until you watch. Ring it. And a blessing isn't a blessing until you watch. Say it. It's got to be stated." A judge asked a man getting a divorce from his wife, "How often do you tell your wife you love her?" He said, "I told her the day I married her, and that applies until I tell her differently." You wonder why he was getting a divorce? I don't. It's got to be stated. It's got to be said. I was recently talking like this, and a man came up to me, 63 years old, and he said, "I'm 63, my son is 33, I never told my son I loved him." I said, "Why don't you do it?" He said, "I will." I said, "When?" He said, "Tomorrow." I said, "Do it tonight." He said, "Okay." I went back to that little town 3 months later. I spoke in a church in that little town, and I sat next to the pastor, and the pastor said, "See that young man back there, third row back?" And I said, "Yes." "That's the finest young man we've had in our church in years. Only been in this church about 3 months. Came in here on a Sunday night. After I was through speaking, he came and talked to me and asked me to show him how to become a Christian. And I did. First time he was ever in church, he came forward to ask me how to be a Christian. Here was the story. The father came home and blessed his child. 33-year-old man. And the 33-year-old man said, "Almost immediately after I had my father's blessing, I had an uncontrollable desire to get right with my heavenly father. Because for the first time in my life, I was right with my earthly father. And ladies and gentlemen, they are tied up." I was reading Luke, the first chapter, the 17th verse, and it said, "John the Baptist prepared the way of the Lord." Does anybody know how John the Baptist prepared the way of the Lord? Well, I really didn't till I recently read it. I'd always said John the Baptist prepared the way of the Lord. I didn't know how, though. And I would wager that most of you here don't know how. But if you read it, you'll discover it says that John the Baptist prepared the way of the Lord by turning the hearts of the fathers to their sons and daughters. And when the hearts of the fathers are turned to their sons and daughters, it turns the hearts of the sons and daughters and the wives to the Lord. You see, if you don't feel blessed of your earthly father, you have no desire to get right with your heavenly father. It's all tied up, isn't it? It's got to be said with a word. Murph the Surf stole the Star of India diamond. He spent 21 years in Florida prisons, one of the most notorious criminals in the history of this country. Murph told me that he was in a prison one time down in Florida. He's up on the second floor. His wife had come to visit him. She was down on the ground level. He yelled down to her, "I love you." She yelled back, "I love you too." He punched the guy next to him. He said, "Tell your wife you love her." The guy said, "You mean now?" He said, "Yes, now." "You mean out loud?" "Yes, out loud." "I got to do it?" "Yes, you got to do it." "I love you." "Didn't hear you." "Didn't understand," she said. "I love you." "Oh yeah, me too, me too." She didn't know how to react. He pushed the next, punched the next guy, tell your wife you love her, the next guy, tell your wife you love her. And those inmates would line up on the second floor in that prison, and they would yell down to their loved ones on the ground level, I love you, and the loved ones would yell back, I love you too. And Murph, the serf, tells me that it changed the whole attitude of that prison, because for the first time, those inmates said how they felt toward their own loved ones. I'd rather be incarcerated in the worst hellhole of a prison in America, and I've been in most of them, and have the courage to say I felt toward my own loved ones, than to be a free man on the street and not have the courage to say it. Some men in this building tonight are so locked up on the inside you can't even say how toward those that are closest to you, those you claim to love. You can't even say it. You're locked up on the inside. You need to be set free. It's got to be said with a word. It can't be understood. Thirdly, it's got to be unconditional. You see, this isn't to say I will love you if you shape up. This isn't to say I'll love you if you act right. This is to say my love for you has nothing to do with the way you act. It is totally unconditional. It is agape, unconditional love. Do you remember the prodigal son went away into a far country? Probably ended up in prison, came home after being gone for about 20 years. The old man saw the boy coming from a great distance, and he ran to meet him. And he said, I hope you've learned your lesson, boy. Is that what he said? No, a robe and a ring and a hug and a kiss and an unconditional forgiveness. And the Bible says that's what God is like. Unconditionally, having nothing to do with our worthiness, having nothing to do with our shaping up, having to do with his agape, unconditional love. You heard about that old umpire that went to a baseball umpire's convention. 3,000 umpires were there. They asked the oldest umpire to get up to speak, and so he got up to speak, and he said these very profound words. Some is balls, and some is strikes, but they ain't nothing till we call them. Some of our kids are winners, and some of our kids are losers, but they don't feel like anything until they got a father and a mother that calls them a winner. Having nothing to do with their performance, having nothing to do with their worthiness, having to do with our agape, unconditional love. I was watching a football game the other day, and I saw a close-up of a great star that had just made a great catch. And he said something very nauseating. Hi, Mom. I get so sick of these clowns on television. Hi, Mom. I just wish one time one athlete would say, Hi, Dad. But they never do. It's the same nauseating, Hi, Mom. It's downright repulsive. Why is that? I'll tell you why it is, because Mom does so much better job of this than Dad does. Mom is so much better at expressing her love and blessing than Dad is. Dad is so tied up with his own machoism that he can't say it. No wonder they say, Hi, Mom. But wouldn't it be infinitely better if they said, Hi, Mom and Dad, because they've got both a mother and a father that is comfortable enough with their own sexuality to the degree that they can express how they feel toward their own children? Unconditional. That's what this blessing has got to be. And forever. Do you know now in every major city in America they got runaway houses? When a kid runs away from home, they go to the runaway house. The first thing they do in the runaway house is try to talk the kid into calling home. And in 68% of the cases when they talk the kid into calling home, you know what the parents say? We don't want them, you keep them. You wonder why they run away if love is that conditional? If love is that temporary? I tell you what I say to my children, my door will always be open to you. There's nothing you can do bad enough to make me close my door to you. My love is like God's love. It is forever. So I've said four things concerning a blessing. It's got to be done with a touch, with a word, unconditionally, and forever. Say that with me. With a touch, with a word, unconditionally, and forever. Again, with a touch, with a word, unconditionally, and forever. Now you're going to come up to me afterwards, you're going to say, how did you say you give a blessing? I'm going to say with a touch, with a word, unconditionally, and forever. It is so important to do it. You know, there's only one man that I know that's more foolish than a father who tries to teach a teenage son something. That's a grandfather. I mean, it didn't work the first time around. Why are you trying to do it the second time around? Do all your teaching and all your instruction before they become teenagers. Once they become teenagers, they're far too intelligent to learn anything from a parent. Don't you know that? And you got to be double dumb if you're a grandfather and you're trying to teach a grandson or granddaughter something. That's really stupid. You're a two-time loser. Do all your teaching before they become teenagers, and a lot of blessing. Then once they become teenagers, just stop trying to teach them anything and just bless them. They've already learned everything they're going to learn from you anyway. Well, you say, okay, Bill, that's all right. I understand what you're saying, and I agree with what you're saying, but the problem is, what about me? I was never blessed. What do I do? How many of you saw that movie on Golden Pond? Did you see that movie? Raise your hand. See that movie? Great movie. I don't agree with anything Jane Fonda says. But she did say one thing in that movie I do agree with. She said, I live 2,000 miles away from that man and he's still running my life. She was talking about her father. You know, you may live 2,000 miles away from him. He may be dead 20 years. He still has an impact on you. It's still impossible to escape the impact of your parents. If they're alive, go to them and ask them for a blessing. If they refuse to give it to you, then go and find someone who will. If they're dead, go to their grave in imagination and forgive them. They need your forgiveness. They were wrong if they didn't bless you. But more importantly, you need to forgive them for your own sake. Go to their grave in imagination and forgive them and then go on with your life. Turn to your spouse, your pastor, your Christian friend, someone you look up to, and get their blessing. Every church ought to be filled with edifiers. That means blessers, people that speak well of you and bless you. We don't need Don Rickles in the church. Don Rickles is the world's worst comedian, in my opinion. The reason Don Rickles is such a terrible comedian is he made his living putting people down. All he ever does is put people down. And I see a lot of churches that are just filled with little Don Rickles. They go around putting people down and they think they're funny, and guess what? They're not. There is no place in Christendom for those who put others down. What the Christian must do is build others up, edify one another, encourage one another, bless one another. And the church ought to be a haven where you know you can go and get blessed. My father's been dead for 30 years. I have a substitute father. My substitute father is 75 years old. He blesses me. He's a man of great wisdom and great spiritual depth. And I look up to him and he blesses me. And I need that. All of us need a substitute father and mother if we do not have a real one who blesses us. I got stopped not too long ago for speeding. I had to go and stand in front of a female judge. And ladies and gentlemen, if you can avoid female judges, do it. She was tough. She was trying to convince me how tough she was. She said, do you want justice? I said, no, ma'am. Sure don't. What I want is mercy. And when I stand in front of the great God of the universe, I don't want justice. If I get justice, I've had it. What I want is mercy. And that's exactly what he promises every one of us who come before him and bow our knee and confess with our tongue and repentantly call upon his name and ask him to come into our heart. One thing that is sure and certain, as a minister of Jesus Christ on the authority of God's word, I can promise you that before you leave this building, you can get the blessing of God, the Heavenly Father. You may not get the blessing of your earthly father and mother, but you can get the blessing of your heavenly father. And the scripture says, him that cometh unto me, I will in no wise cast out. I believe you ought to seek the blessing of your earthly father and mother. And if you can't get it, find someone who will. But the ultimate blessing is the blessing of God the Heavenly Father, and that's the one you can't exist without. I got a little grandson. My grandson is fantastic. I remember the day my grandson was born, I thought he might be president. Or maybe he'll be a pro football player like his father and grandfather before him. What a fantastic little boy. And my chest was sticking out, and I was so proud of that boy. But on the second day of his life, we discovered he had Down syndrome. That meant he could never be president because he would always be a little bit or a great deal retarded. That meant he could never be a pro football player because he would always be a little bit physiologically imbalanced. This wasn't the little boy we'd wanted. We'd wanted a perfect little boy. This little boy was imperfect. We wanted an athletic little boy. This little boy was unathletic. We'd wanted an intelligent little boy. This little boy was retarded. This wasn't the little boy we'd wanted. And we felt like dying. But then Billy Ray began to grow. He had an unusual amount of love. Every time he'd come over to my house, he'd jump on my lap and hug me and kiss me and talk to me. And sometimes he'd sit in my lap 30, 40 minutes. And if I got 15 seconds of his little brother's time, I was fortunate. But Billy Ray had all the time in the world for gam-gam. That's me, gam-gam. They just turned the driveway coming down toward our house, and he starts yelling, gam-gams, gam-gams. I start yelling, Billy Ray, Billy Ray. I'm nuts about that kid. He's more fun than three or four normal little grandsons. And much more lovable. What a blessing that little boy is. I was over at his house not too long ago, and he was down on the floor playing with his car. He's going, nuddin, nuddin, nuddin. I smiled at him. He goes, nuddin, nuddin, nuddin. I smiled at him again. He goes, nuddin, nuddin. I get the picture. He wants me to play nuddin, nuddin. So I get down on one knee, and I take his car, and I go, nuddin, 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 nuddin. He likes that pretty good, but not real good. See, because I'm still on one knee. He's on his belly. Why can't I get on my belly? Well, I really don't want to get on my belly. I'm in a full dress suit, getting ready to go preach somewhere. But Billy Ray wants me on my belly, so I'm spread eagle on the floor of my belly. Nuddin, 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 nuddin. Friends of my son's come in. They have to step over me to get in the room. Ah, Mr. Glass, they say, we've always wanted to meet you. Nuddin, nuddin, nuddin. I don't even have time to shake hands with them. Because when Billy Ray wants to play nuddin, I play nuddin. They don't like it. You know how much I care? And I've been looking around here tonight. And I hadn't seen anybody big enough here to make me play nuddin. Certainly no one on this platform. And I don't mean that as a challenge to any of you young weightlifters and athletes out there. But I want to tell you something. Billy Ray can get me down in one little motion. Right on my belly. Playing nuddin. No man or woman ever stands quite so tall as when you bow your knee, get on your belly with your little son or your little grandson, your little daughter or your little granddaughter. And play at nuddin. And no man is ever quite so much the fool who's so tough and so macho that he can't even play at nuddin. It's the same with God. You got to get nuddin nuddin attitude with God, don't you? You got to say, God, I've botched it. I haven't done right. I've sinned. I need your forgiveness and your eternal life. I need the blessing of God the Heavenly Father through Jesus Christ the Son. You see, it's not enough just to say, I'm going to do better and I'm going to start blessing my kids. You got to say to them, I've been wrong. Would you forgive me? I really fouled up because I've been trying to teach you so much, I failed to bless you. And I need you to forgive me. Will you forgive me? Wife,
children, grandchildren, will you forgive me? I want to start all over again. I want to do better. And it's the same with God. You got to say, Lord, I've been wrong. I haven't really trusted you as Lord and Savior. I haven't really repented of my sin and asked your son Jesus to come into my heart. But I want to do it. God, I want to get an attitude. I'm going to get on my knees and admit I've been wrong. And I need you to save me. And I'm going to repent and ask you to be my Savior. And when you do that, ladies and gentlemen, the Bible says it is absolutely impossible for God not to forgive you and save you for Christ's sake on the spot. Because when you come to Him with an attitude, He has to hear you. He's honor bound. He promises it in His Word. You see, the epitome of what life is really all about is to get the blessing from God the Heavenly Father through Jesus Christ the Son, and then go and give the blessing to your wife and your children and your grandchildren and your loved ones and your fellow church members and all of those around you, and even go out into the lost world and tell them of Him. Get and give a blessing.